The 19th century philosopher Soren Kierkegaard told this following parable. He said, there once was a lily who lived a happy life beside a rippling brook. The beautiful little flower in its simple surroundings was content and carefree until one day. This day, the bird showed up. Now, this feathered visitor was a show-off, a braggart, and a spinner of fine tails. It would swoop in and fill the lily's head full of stories of better places and far more beautiful flowers. Each story was crafted to convey the message that, in comparison to every other flower, this poor lily was a nobody. This poor lily was a failed flower, captive to simplicity and embarrassingly inadequate. Following each visit from the bird, the lily fretted more and more. It couldn't sleep. It no longer woke up happy. It felt incapacitated by its simplicity and its nothingness. But the bird was here to help. You see, the bird had the answer. So together they formulated a plan, and early one morning, the bird landed beside the lily and began to peck away slowly at the soil around its roots. Now, liberated, this lily was placed under the wings of the bird, and away they flew to a better place. And in this better place, where lilies were more beautiful and life was more full, the flower told itself that it would truly be a lily worth the name. But, alas, they never made it to that land. You see, high in the heavens, rootless and finally free of its former constraints, the lily withered, and there the lily died. Today, I want us to consider this lily. I believe that an unfulfilled life will always lead you to a rootless, withered existence. It's a reminder that the grass is never greener on the other side. But I want you to know that there is a better way. See, I believe that Jesus has prepared for you a fulfilled life rooted in the abundance of knowing the Messiah personally. So today our topic is this: the fulfilled life. And so I simply want to ask you right now, do you want a fulfilled life? You see, in the Word of God, we find the answer to unfulfillment, and it is the abundance of Jesus. So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I will be reading from the CSB beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Paul says, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want. They will turn away from hearing the truth, and they will turn aside to myths. But as for you, exercise self-control in everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may he change your life through the good news of the gospel today. So let's look at how you and I can have a fulfilled life. I think that's what we all want. The foundation of fulfillment is right here in the word. You see, the foundation of your life begins precisely where Timothy's began. I don't know if you caught it when we read, but it says, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. You see, over and over again, we are reminded that God is with you and that God and Jesus are watching over you. They are fully present at all times. The Old Testament would say it in this language. The Old Testament says, before the eyes of the Lord, or the congregation was in the sight of Yahweh. See, I believe truly, if you were to grasp fully that the Father is always with you and that He is completely and continually present in your life, that you would live your life with a new zeal for holiness. And you would live your life with a new desire for fulfillment, knowing that God is watching you in every moment. You see, I believe to know Adonai and to know that He is with you and watching over you in every moment is the foundation. And it's the foundation of a fulfilled life. So, dear friends, God is with you. And Adonai, He is watching over you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ. But not only is God watching over you and before you, but you are to also now live not before God, but also because of Him, because of Christ. And here particularly because of His appearing and of His kingdom. You see, the appearing of God and the appearing of Lord Jesus Christ, as demonstrated in the previous chapter, 2 Timothy 3, is when the Messiah will return. And when Jesus returns one day, He will make all things new. And one day, for the Christian, when Jesus returns, you will receive the crown of righteousness that He will bring you safely into His eternally kingdom. See, this is God's promise for you. Simply put, when you surrender your life to Jesus, you become part of His kingdom. That's exactly why Paul is reminding Timothy of this. He's saying, Timothy, you are part of God's kingdom. Don't forget that fact. Let that breed fulfillment in your life. And because of Jesus, you now live to receive the reward of the upward call. You see, to be a citizen of heaven and in the kingdom of the Messiah is the foundation of the fulfilled life. So never forget, Christian, never forget, dear friend, who you are. And never forget whose you are. To know that you belong to Jesus is the cornerstone of the fulfilled life. And to that I say amen and hallelujah. So here's Timothy, knowing that because Jesus sees him, because Jesus restores him, and because Jesus is coming back soon, he has a new command. So the fulfilled life leads to a call. And Paul calls it very simply. He says, preach the word. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, well, pastor, you're the preacher, not me. So I don't have to listen to this call. But hear me, the word preach means to proclaim aloud. It simply means to be loud for the sake of the gospel. You see, the fulfilled life in Christ is a loud life that boldly shouts, Jesus saves. He saved me and He can save you. And when you live a loud life, Martin Luther said it this way, it brings Satan distress when we only spread the word and let it alone to do the work. You see, there are people in your life that need to hear what Jesus is doing. There are people in your life that they need you to be loud and to be bold for what Christ is doing. You see, the fulfilled life in Christ is a bold life. The fulfilled life in Christ is a loud life. So will you join me? Will you be loud for the sake of the gospel? That's Paul's heart for Timothy, and that is my heart for you. Are you ready to be loud? So you might say, well, when does this happen? When should we be loud? Is there a good time and is there a bad time to be loud? Well, Paul gives us that word. He says, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. You see, in season and out of season means that Christians should be ready to seize the moment and to win people for Christ. In season designates a time that would be easy or convenient to live for Christ. And the reverse is true. Out of season is a time that's not convenient and not excellent to preach the word from our culture or from human perspective. You see, I believe these moments, moments of quarantine and moments of difficulty and moments of darkness, in these moments that are out of season, demonstrate our hearts. Are you ready to seize and be loud for the gospel when it's difficult? Are you ready to seize the moment and be loud for the gospel when it's easy? You see, the fulfilled life is a ready life. And here's the truth about Christ. Preaching the good news is always in season. So let it always be your season. Not merely in peace or in security, but not only when you sit in the church, but in every walk of life. You see, the fulfilled life in Christ is the ready life for Christ. And I want to live a ready life. I want to live a life that tells God yes. I think of it this way. I want to give God my all. And I want to write God a blank check and sign my name to it. And say, God, you have my life. You do with me what you want. But see, I believe some Christians are waiting for God to tell them what to do, and then they're going to write the check. But I believe what Paul's telling Timothy is saying, Timothy, go ahead and give God a blank check. Sign your name to it. Trust him and let God tell you no. Dear friend, today, will you live a life that says yes to God? That's what the ready life looks like. See, the fulfilled life is a ready life, and a ready life is a yes life. Are you ready to live boldly for the sake of Jesus Christ? And when you do, when you preach the word to others, when you preach the word daily to yourself, this gospel, this good news, something beautiful happens. We read it right here in the text. Paul says that the word does something. The word rebukes, which means it brings an end to those who are doing wrong. It says the word corrects, which means it turns away those who are in sin. But that's not all. It also encourages. You see, the gospel is like a physician. That's why the Bible calls Jesus the great physician and the good physician. You see, it's like the careful physician who sees the wound and corrects it. It's like the careful physician who knows the correct diagnosis, who makes the incision and applies the remedy. See, that's the encouragement. God knows how to heal you. And God knows how to heal the hearts of others. See, this is the power of the gospel. This is the power of gospel proclamation. But know this, Paul says, be patient, because the work of sanctification is a slow, deliberate process. Sometimes, from our perspective, it is a really slow process. Be ready. Preach the word. Let it correct and rebuke and encourage, but do so with patience and with teaching. And when you do, you will fulfill your ministry. I find this fascinating. Did you know that you have a ministry in the local church? Yes, this is written to a pastor, but it's also written to every single follower of Jesus Christ. You see, there is a puzzle piece in this local church, and there's a puzzle piece in other local churches that only you fit. You see, God wants to use you in incredible ways. And when you realize that Jesus has accomplished the way of your salvation, you will live a life to achieve the task that is set before you. Paul is simply saying this, fulfilled people fulfill their ministry. So Christian, May it not be about you, but may it be about you doing the work of Jesus Christ. This is the fulfilled life. But we see this in verse 3 and 4. Not everyone lives in the fulfillment of what God has created them to be. You see, not everyone has a fulfilled life. And not everyone, even in the church, here in Ephesus and now in modern days, not everyone is a Christ follower. You see, the time will come, Paul says, when people in the church at Ephesus will not tolerate. And Paul says very clearly, there are people in the church, there are people who are unfulfilled, who will not tolerate sound doctrine. See, the loss of appetite for the gospel will lead many to find and multiply voices that only sound like themselves. See, this is exactly what sin does in your life. Sin only multiplies your selfish desires. Sin only multiplies your selfish patterns. See, unfulfilled people turn away from truth and do not tolerate sound teaching. Origen of Alexandria, writing in 250 AD, almost 1,800 years ago, says this. He said, poor teaching equals bad digestion. Poor teaching, it tastes really sweet, but it only makes the body fat, and it does not bind the bowels. I've heard it said this way, that hungry people will eat anything. And that's exactly what Paul is saying. The people who live a life of unfulfillment will always be hungry because they're malnourished. But that's not the only product of an unfulfilled life. And maybe you understand that. Maybe you are spiritually hungry right now. Know that Jesus is the answer for you. But there's an equal and even sometimes more devastating product of the unfulfilled life. Right here in this scripture, it says this, that those who are unfulfilled in Jesus because they don't know the truth of Christ, that they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. Literally, in the passive tense, which is used here, it says that they are feeling an itch deep inside. It's the one who leaves church to church or goes from hearer and teacher to teacher until they find what they want to hear. The Bible calls this the itchy ear syndrome of yesterday. But today we call it another name. We call it the echo chamber. You see, we still have echo chambers in our lives. An echo chamber in modern language is simply a hollow enclosure used to produce reverb. It's like the Hamilton Mausoleum in Scotland, which holds the Guinness Book of World Records, or did, for the longest echo. You see, it took 15 seconds for the sound of a slammed door to fade. Can you imagine living in that room? Of every time the door is open and closed, it takes 15 seconds. But in your life, you also have echo chambers. Studies show physicists have examined how algorithms change our life. Did you know that your preferred social media platform and your preferred search engine collects your data? And via algorithms, it selects information that it knows you want to hear. You can think of it this way. Your phone literally knows you better than you know yourself. And eventually, here's what happens. You only see information that you agree with. You only hear things that your itchy ears or your itchy eyes want to see. And then culture creates an echo chamber for you. Researchers liken this phenomenon to hiring a personal chef who only makes your favorite dishes every day over and over and over again. And yet one day they cook something new. And you might discover that you like this new dish and it becomes part of your staple menu. But if you're not careful, maybe the love of this food actually is poisoning. You see, that's exactly what sin does. It only creates an insatiable appetite for more and more and more. And echo chambers and itchy ears are poisoning your soul. You see, echo chambers and itchy ears, going from teacher to teacher and church to church and social media to social media, this is the product of the unfulfilled life. And if you were honest today, would you examine what you listen to? Do you only listen to what you like to hear? Maybe it's a radio station or certain talk show or talk radio or sports radio. Maybe you only listen to certain genres of music or TV shows or specific channels on social media. But are you listening to those because they are honoring Christ and creating a deeper hunger for Jesus? Or do you listen to those because they sound good to your ears? You see, Christ's followers are compelled to ask, are these good? Do these create a deeper desire for righteousness? Listen, this is what the Bible says. When every voice you hear sounds like you, maybe you're not hearing the Spirit. Maybe you're only hearing what you want to hear. And this is a product of the unfulfilled life. And we see these voices manifest themselves in our community. So what? How do we apply all this to our lives? You see, the answer to unsound doctrine, the answer to superficial religion is to hear a beautiful song. You see, it's the beautiful song of the gospel that cures our itchy ears. Let me tell you about this beautiful song. Romans 10, beginning in verse 14, says it this way. It says, how can they, those who have itchy ears, those who are living in sin, how can they call upon Jesus if they have not believed in him? How can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you see, friend? The most beautiful song in the world is brought by beautiful feet. It's brought by people who love Christ and want to preach and be sent. You see, nothing will satisfy your soul like Jesus. Will you hear him today? Will you, as commanded Timothy, will you live a loud life? Will you preach the gospel? Will you go? Will you live a life that is fully and radically sold out to Christ because you are fulfilled and satisfied in him? So I ask you one more time, consider the lily that we heard about earlier, who dreamed of a far better place where lilies were more beautiful, where life was more full, where the flower would genuinely be a lily worth the name. But alas, the flower never found that place. High in the heavens, rootless, finally free of all of the constraints, the lily withered and the lily died because the lily was unfulfilled. It had no root. It had no depth of soil. So I simply want to ask right now, are you a Christ follower? And if you are, have you forgotten this week how much Jesus loves you? Maybe you're discontent with your life, and because the enemy and the world have caused you to forget God's promises in your life. Are you living an unfulfilled life? Does your stomach long for things that only leave you starving? Here is the answer for you. Run back to Jesus afresh and anew. And find again that he is enough. Remember that you are living every day in the fullness of the presence of God. Remember that you are a part of his kingdom. Be fulfilled, my friend, in Jesus. Maybe you are thinking through the word and you realize that you need to be ready for God. Will you take a moment and tell God yes? Today, would you simply say, God, I want to be a yes first person. Would you humbly and authentically bow your head and pray a prayer and say, God, I am writing you a blank check that you can cash. You see, the ready person, the available person to Christ, in season and out of season, is the one who will do great things for the kingdom. And maybe you hear this and you realize that you're not fulfilled because you don't know Jesus. Today, there's hope. We want you to know that true fulfillment is found in Christ. So would you pray a prayer like this? If you want to follow Christ for the first time, would you pray a prayer something like this? Would you say, Father, today I recognize that I will not and I cannot do it on my own. And God, I want to hear from you. Father, I want to love you and live for you. I believe Christ came to live. I believe Christ came to die. I believe Christ was raised from death to rescue me from my sin. Father, forgive me. I turn from me and I trust in you. Today, by faith, I recognize Jesus as my King. If you've done that, I want you to know that today is the first day that you will walk in fulfillment of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel is Jesus in our place. So what does a fulfilled life look like? It means being ready in season and out of season, because every day we live in the presence of Christ. Church, if the Lord has touched your heart during this message, would you reach out to us? My email will be at the bottom of the screen. You can make a comment also. We have pastors standing by right now to encourage you, to pray for you, and to rejoice if you are coming to Christ. But Jesus is worth it. The gospel is Jesus in our place. Live the fulfilled life this week.